Prime Video brings thrilling entertainment. Watch Heavyweight Detective Reacher Season 3, included with Prime.
Exactly how much danger is this job putting me in?
Treat yourself to the lovably chaotic Bridget Jones, Mad About the Boy, available to buy.
Did you have sex last night?
Yes, and it was amazing!
Whatever you're into, it's right here. Prime Video. Click or tap the banner to find out more.
It's the cinematic event of the year. Critics say sensational, superb, stunning savings.
Are you talking about Karate Kid Legends?
No, sir. It's 2-for-1 cinema tickets from Compensa Market. A spectacular offer.
So?
That you can use to see Karate Kid Legends only in cinemas.
Oh, I'll get my headband.
Get 2-for-1 cinema tickets every Tuesday or Wednesday with Compensa Market. Simples.
When you take out a qualifying product, compare the market. One membership per year, participating cinemas, 2 standard tickets only, cheap as free. T's and C's apply.
This is the place where sports opinions collide. Dead End Sports, I'm your host, Kenneth Beans. Joining me on the show, we have FIFO, Spike, Shelton, and Nick.
What's going
on? What up, though?
Thank you guys for tuning in. We're glad to have you guys on board. Make sure you guys hit the thumbs up button and leave a comment as well, and of course we always welcome feedback from you guys too. We were discussing earlier about introducing a new element to the show that we'll make probably an announcement. Hopefully we can have some news out for you guys very shortly, but stay tuned for that, man. I think you guys will be excited about it. But we're here to talk about sports, man. And we are in a very eventful, to a degree, conference finals from both teams, and we're here to talk about the teams that left and the teams that are left. So we'll save that bit of news because we already know the news about Thibs. We'll definitely talk about that later, but let's open up as we always do with the best performance of the week.
Ken, I'm going to let you know right now, I'm a natural born hater, natural born, but I'm trying to work on myself, work on my ways. So
you nominated your cousin.
I'm giving it. I expected to hate this episode. So bullets is bouncing off. Pascal Siakam was the Eastern Conference Finals MVP over the goofy-ass Tyrese Haliburton. Sheldon, I just wanted to highlight this just because Haliburton looked salty as hell.
Did you see
it? Him and his punk-ass daddy. shout out to Pascal Siakam. He had a great finals run. I had to argue with somebody on this platform about the value of Siakam on that team. He's a champion before that team. He's a champion afterward. He may be a two-time champion after this whole thing. Hopefully not. But I wanted to give him his flowers for his push. Because in all the games that they really won, he was balling. You can questionably argue that Haliburton wasn't as impactful as Siakam was. And
let's go there.
We're here to argue.
It's not time to go there yet.
It's not there yet. But if you look at the stats, people, and it, like them look games, the Siakam was dogging the Knicks. So I wanted to give him his flowers. Best performance of the week for the Finals MVP, Eastern Conference Finals MVP.
Okay. It's very good, Nick. It's very grown up of you, man.
Yeah, I'm
not
trying.
Not like you had much choice. But
and it's his cousin, like FIFO said.
That's racist.
The worst.
That is so racist.
No racist, man.
That was the worst pitch he could have picked.
It was. Are we sure that was Siakam?
I thought that was Nick's close up.
Nick Cousin. That was Nick Cousin.
All right. Let's jump into it, man. Let's talk about the West because they were out of here early. The Minnesota Timberwolves made a valiant effort to come back in their Western Conference Final Series against the Oklahoma City Thunder, but that lasted only 3 minutes before they were blown out of the gym in Game 5 on the road, 124-94. What's one change you would make to the Timberwolves to improve them for next year, Shelton? I'm going to start with you, brother.
You have to find a point guard. You have to find a distributor to take the ball out of Ant Edwards' hands early so he can get it and make his moves late and I have to control and set up the offense. Right now, when Mike Conley was off the floor, and they may already have that point guard on the team. I think Rob Dillingham could be that, but he didn't get, of course, he's not getting the minutes in the playing time right now because he's still young. But with the ball being in Ant's hands early, it's hard for him to kind of get going because he's trying to set up everybody else. That's the one move that you have to make to take the pressure off of him so every play didn't have to run through him completely for anything to happen. So that, more than anything else, is where this team is lacking.
Shelton, let me ask you this. Is that Finch's fault? Because he's had him all year. Conley is there. He's a veteran. Shouldn't he have been playing and kind of bringing him along throughout the season to get him prepared for certain key moments?
I would think so. The only reason I can't argue with that, though, Ken, is because they made it to the Western Conference Finals. And in saying that, maybe he felt like playing him, those growing pains in there would kind of affect the chemistry and what they had going on. So the team may have not went as far. Maybe that was the thought process behind it. You know, of course, we weren't privy to the practices. But next year, there's no doubt about it. Either you're going to sink or swim with him. Either he's going to be able to play, or you're going to have to bring somebody else in there that can play. But for some reason, I guess he just trusted Conley more with this particular unit and the thought process that they had, which a lot of people, even on this program, thought would have been enough to get them past OKC. But as we could see, it didn't. So,
Shelton, for some reason, 10 plus years of NBA experience, and Ken, at the end of the day, we're like Shelton said, we're not there. We're not privy to the practices and the day to day, but Rod Dillingham, I don't disagree with you, Shelton, but maybe he just wasn't ready. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes that, you know, and when you look at him physically, it's like, I don't know how much of a beating you could take on the court night in, night out. You know what I'm saying? Just from the level of physicality, especially in the playoffs. I don't think body wise, physically, he's there yet to contribute. However, I don't disagree in a sense, Shelton, that Mike Conley was a gift and a curse. You needed his NBA experience and wisdom, but you needed him to make shots. There was a montage that I saw when the ball was getting rotated to Mike Conley and how many shots he missed. So for me, I don't even think it's a point guard per se. They need a bucket getter outside of Edwards that can create off the dribble, because Julius Randle had the fucking series of his life and nobody expected that. Now, can he stay consistent with that? I don't know. I'm pretty sure they'll make the playoffs next season. We'll see how it goes then. But I think they need another bucket getter, because everybody else on that squad is a dependent bucket. They depend on Edwards. They depend on somebody else to get him a bucket. Nobody else get. And as much as I like, who's the big man? Nas Reed.
Yeah.
Where the hell was he at?
He is a six man.
That's what he showed.
But he should be.
You know.
Oh, one last thing, real quick, Lou. The only thing I was gonna say is Rob Dillingham did have a sprained ankle and he missed that first series, so that may have had an effect on him in the playoffs. I'm sorry.
He wasn't getting playing time in the regular season, Shelton.
They need a legitimate number two. That's what they need. Like if people are comparing Ant Edwards to Jordan, then he needs a Scottie Pippen. Not Julius Randle. Julius Randle is a good three option on a championship team. He's not, like, he can't be your second best player. If Julius Randle is your second best player, this way you get every year for the Timberwolves.
But so what you're saying, they just need a Scottie Pippen? That's your
yeah, he needs a number two. Like he needs a Robin. He's Batman. We've established that he may not be the face of the league. He may not be top eight like we're talking about later, but he has established that I am a superstar on a team, but he needs a number two and he doesn't have that. I can't go into another season expecting Julius Randle to be the second best player on the team. You're never going to make it where you're trying to get. And that's no disrespect to Julius Randle. He just don't got the skill set to do that. We've seen that in the game where we thought Ant Edwards was passive when Julius Randle only had 5 points. Like that doesn't happen from a legitimate number two. You can look at D Wade, you can look at Scottie Pippen, Kobe or Shaq, whoever you thought was the number two there. Like if Batman is struggling, then Robin has to come through. And so Julius Randle just not that dude.
So you're saying they should make a move for Giannis?
I don't know if they need to do that.
Giannis is a number one. He ain't right. He ain't coming into Robin.
At that point, you put Anthony Edwards at two. At that point, you put
that's not a problem. That's not a problem.
And would have to be a number.
You got one A1B. I wouldn't disagree with it if I'm Minnesota. That's
it's
cool.
It's not one A1B.
Giannis is not a number two. Yeah, Giannis not a number two, and he's not a one A or one B. He's one.
If Giannis goes to Golden State, he's number two. Like, what did you
know?
Giannis, every team in the NBA.
Why would you say that?
Not at this age for Steph Curry. That's not true.
He's still not.
Steph would defer to Giannis. Ask Mr. Golden State right now. He deferred to Kevin Durant. Who's number one if Giannis goes to Golden State? Is it Steph or is it him?
Giannis is number one.
Thank you.
Yeah. I don't know what people are talking about.
Bro, Giannis gonna be one anywhere he goes.
Yeah, Giannis is the top 15 player.
If you are Steph, you want Giannis to be number one.
Yeah, you want him to be number
one. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's gonna let him.
I'm better if he's Batman.
He can be free at that point. Do what he does.
He'd be like really an ultra version of what. Because he's younger than LeBron, what LeBron is to Luka right now. Like, Luka's going to be number one next year. And I think he was number one towards the end of the season, this past season. So,
didn't help him.
You got to have a big man to go with that. So,
you got
to
have a good diet, too.
He's skinny now, Nick. So, what about you, Nick? What do you think about the Timberwolves?
They want us to just slander Ant-Man. Like, and you was trying to lead the charge last weekend. Don't let I let you off the hook on that.
We'll get to Ant-Man next.
They want to slander Ant-Man. I would say this for the Timberwolves. I don't even fuck with this dude either. But like Lou was talking about, they need to get a Scottie Pippen or a solid number two. My question was, who is in the market right now that is willing to give up a number two, or if there's a number two available? I don't see that happening. Either you won't get in the draft or you're not. I don't think Kevin Durant is what they need, because they need direction.
That's exactly
they have.
There you go, kid.
They have a car with no steering wheel. You know what I'm saying? And I think, because to me, it's like they need a point guard. They need someone who there's something that they can give direction. Because this car is just, it's dope and all that, but you can't drive it anywhere. And I think what Ant has showed us is that his ceiling by himself is a conference final. As far as by himself is meaning that he's a number one. But I think Q's point, I think you always talked about Trae Young. I think that's the conversation we really need to have. And I saw, I don't really fuck with Trae Young because he's a defensive liability. But offensively and what he does for the team, he can create and make things easier for Ant. And I don't think Trae Young gave you 5 points in a.
I believe so.
Is Trae Young, in my opinion, is Trae Young coming in to be your two, or is he going to be a one?
No, he's your two
automatically. He's your one B.
But Trae Young is not complimentary to AE though, and that's the issue. His game is not complimentary to Ant Edwards.
He led the league in assists this year, FIFA.
I understand that, but it's hot. But he's ball dominant. He has to have the rock to get those assists.
Wait, hold on.
Because Q, I'm going to go to something that we said either last week or the week before. I think that Trae Young's best place is Orlando with Franz Wagner and Paolo Banchero. Those guys, that is complementary basketball, because Paolo doesn't need the rock like that. He could be set up or late in shot clock situations, give him the rock and let him boogie. You know what I'm saying? AE needs the rock in the flow. So does Trae Young.
But that's, to me, I think that's the incorrect analysis, because Michael Jordan, everybody want to compare Ant to Mike because he's dark skinned and because he can jump, and that's cool. But really, I mean, I don't see Mike at all in his game. Yeah, to me, I always see Ben Gordon when I see AE. Like, that's not disrespectful. I'm just talking about his game. I'm not talking about his ceiling or where he's going to be at the end of his game. I'm just talking about how he plays the game. Like, Ben Gordon was a heater, bro. The same way AE, he's like a supreme version of that build.
Yeah, Ben Gordon's getting nobody.
You know what I'm saying? He was killing. But the thing is, for me, Minnesota needs a floor general, and I'm not in the business of judging players based off of how they play with very dysfunctional franchises. And the Atlanta Hawks are extremely dysfunctional. And I'm not going to judge Trae Young, who's leading the league constantly, either top three in assists. And I feel like you need a floor general to orchestrate. And another part of this conversation from Minnesota is that Chris Finch is not the goods either. But we're not really having that conversation because he got completely spanked by OKC's coaching. He got completely outcoached. He looked like a fool in many of his rotations. And I think that the Minnesota Timberwolves should look at the season as a success because they made that move, hedging on Cat not being a floor raiser or not being someone that can, like, you know, go through the ceiling for that, like, you want. And you see how that went for the Knicks. But you now have money that you can get off the off the books. You have contracts in Nikhil Alexander Walker, DiVincenzo, and Randall that can be moved. And I think that if you bring in a KD or a Trae Young, you can expect better results.
Okay. Well, let's move to the next part of this question. And I think my assessment of one change that the Timberwolves need to make next year, I think, is for Ant to play fucking better in the Western fucking Conference Finals. Show the fuck up. Because he did not. He got cooked. And he's supposed to be the guy. So, based on this series, did Anthony Edwards remove himself from the top eight in the face of the lead discussion?
No, I don't think he removed himself, but I think we're questioning it because at the end of the day, he has a sensational regular season and then a pretty good right postseason like he did this year. He's right back at it, Ken. It's not like he's out of the circle. He's just halfway in, halfway out.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say he is right. It's going to sound like I'm on Bales Bosman. He is right at where he needs to be. In my
He's 23,
opinion. He may be above where he needs to be, honestly, or he should be, because through everybody's journey that we talk about, because I see all the comments, Ken. I see all the comments. You can shake your head all you want. I see all the comments. When Giannis, before Giannis had his championship run, did we not question him even with those MVPs?
Absolutely.
When Joker had his before his championship run, Ken, did we not question him when he had those MVPs?
We did, but nobody else did.
When even with Luka and his championship run, even though he didn't win one, we still question him now. Like even with LeBron, when he was doing everything he could outside of calling himself Jordan, the first 9 years, even when he went to the finals and he lost, like we question him. We question all the stars once they get out of the happy the honeymoon phase of them, where we see somebody we've never seen before make a name for himself, have a personality, all that. And we think, okay, they're going to take us to the top or they're up next. And then we see them struggle. I don't think anyone thought this would be sweet. I'm just more so thinking that, Ken, I'm not disagreeing with you saying he needs to play better. Of course, to me, that's an understatement. But to me, I grade him like how far he's gotten so far already at 23, like FIFO said. Like back-to-back Western Conference Finals, we didn't expect that this season. And we're going to talk about another team we didn't expect to get to the Conference Finals either. So it's like, how I can't say that you shitty or you had a bad season when you in the Final Four. I think
it's an overrated run, bro.
Okay.
It's all runs.
Okay, so here's where I just was aghast at the coverage besides Nick and I think maybe FIFO were sharing my opinion.
Aghast.
Bro. I was flabbergasted. I like really just getting taken aback at the rigmarole and the hoopla that was going on last week. I really feel as though that we are so spoiled as NBA fans and we engage in so much revisionist history when it comes to 22 and 23 year olds. I think Anthony Edwards is right where he should be. The only two people that have done what Anthony Edwards has done in the last two Western Conference Finals, making it back to back, leading his team. And I'm willing to talk about his flaws after this, so we'll do that. But if you're talking about Kobe freaking Bryant and LeBron James, oh, they were 22 and they went to finals. Okay, one had the most dominant big man ever, and another one put up 25 straight points against the Bad Boys Part 2 to get to the finals And by the way, he got swept by the Spurs, and ESPN and all the media said he couldn't get at least one game. He couldn't get – if he's really Michael Jordan, how come he can't get at least one game? The dumbest shit you hear, because you're 22. Michael Jordan, these people don't really come into their own until they are really 27, 28, start having real – putting it all together. And I'm tired of people in the chat, and I'm tired of Celtics fans talking about some Jason fucking Tatum, because Jason Tatum is not asked to carry the Celtics, and he never has been asked to carry the Celtics. This nigga has had Kyrie Irving, Gordon Hayward, he's had Marcus Morris, he's had Terry Rozier, he's had Brad Stevens load up teams from, he's had Sixth Man of the Year, he's had defense player, Kristaps Porzingis, Jaylen Brown, all these people that are around him as a supporting cast. And y'all want to compare these three instances of Tatum's teams, LeBron James, and Kobe freaking Bryant with Shaq to a nigga who has Julius Randle as his number two. That is basketball malpractice. That analysis is flawed as fuck, and I am not standing for it. Yes, Anthony Edwards needs more than 5 points. I wanted to see him get more involved off ball. You can still have effort with rebounding. Set picks. I want you to be a demon on defense. I want you to get steals, turnovers, force it. Yeah, for sure. But if you're going to tell me that OKC are just a team of straight young demons on defense, look at what OKC did to a team like the Timberwolves, and then compare what they have in terms of player talent. You're asking DiVincenzo to get you 20 a game. You're asking Nikhil Alexander-Walker, journeyman guys, versus this number one defense 2 years in a row. I think it's just a wash, and Anthony Edwards is right where he needs to be.
Q, I'm with you, except for the fact that where was all the energy from other people when the series started? Everybody was talking about how great he was. So we can't come back now and walk it back and say, well, he's only 23. When before we were saying he was already there.
Walking shit back. I ain't walking
That's
shit back.
That's what it seems like.
No.
Nick should have been bailed.
when we made our picks, we going off of what we think is going to happen based on what we believe, what we see, and who we think is going to take it to the next level. I didn't expect, based off expectations, I didn't expect the Timberwolves to get this far. But the fact that they did, I'm like, shit, they may be there, and I think Ant can get them over. And and no one believed in OKC on this program to say that no one believed, because I asked multiple times. I'm going to keep mentioning that. I asked multiple times. Who believes in OKC to get to the Western Conference
Finals? You and their biggest hater.
We're going to find out when we make our picks. But all I'm saying is, when Ant took this team that far, I'm like, oh, shit. This may be something special. And I'm willing to bet on something special versus what everybody else is already saying, at least in Vegas and the media, saying OKC is going to run away with it. Because outside of Vegas and the main media, we did not say that at all. And I asked multiple times so I can gauge what's real and what's not. So that's why I'm going off with the guy that I fuck with.
Hey, Sheldon, why can't two things be true? Why can't you say this is a great player and they just ran into something they need to learn from? Like, why does it have to be an indictment on the person, on the player's game just because they weren't able to overcome this hurdle this time? Like, and we are specifically talking about a team sport. Like, niggas constantly make it seem like this one player. And you, like, he just talked about Scottie Pippen. Like, I mean, nigga talking about a top 50 player all the time that he need to go get. They don't just fall off the damn tree spike. But my opinion is, you can be great and still have to learn how to overcome hurdles. Like, he was not supposed to be here, first of all. And a lot of people who pick them is because they are more fans of Ant than they are of Shea. And that's really what it comes down to. Mm-hmm. You could be a fan of somebody and make that pick. But I also feel like we're sitting here like saying, like, oh, because he didn't do this, he's not deserving of all the praise that we gave him. Nah, give him a chance to grow.
I would agree wholeheartedly if it was tempered when the praise was given. Once again, we gave so much praise that there was no room for below average performances. And what he did to me was, there's nothing wrong with playing bad. I don't have a problem with playing bad. But not showing up, that's two different things. If you're crowning somebody as the face of the league, that's a different expectation. Y'all ain't shot nobody else, no bill. If you're supposed to be at that level, I expect that level of expectation, that level of play from you. If you shoot over 20, you're gonna take them shots and the ball, and you're gonna do everything
that's
around,
wrong.
Like you said.
That's a dumb thing to say.
Come back, like I said.
One mic.
He was cool with me until he came out and was like, well,
I did what I was supposed to do. That right there killed it for me. As far as that goes, I'm not shooting him no bail after that.
Stay
after
over that, there.
Try to resolve yourself like I ain't got nothing to do with it. You can't do that, man. Not as a league.
But I also want to point out, too, like the same defense also made who is probably the best player in the league look pretty pedestrian most of the series before this one. Yeah, like we're making it seem like he just went up against some lackadaisical defense. Now again, I'm not trying to shoot him complete, like saying he's complete absolved from this. I just think niggas are piling on to Ant right now because it's fun to do it right now. As far as like we always feel like everybody's supposed to live up to this certain expectation and they're supposed to succeed when they make it to the stage. Like we don't give them the chance to actually grow and learn. And niggas make it seem like Jordan didn't constantly face the Celtics and constantly face the bad boy Pistons until he finally broke through.
Yeah, like he lost those games, but he battled in those games. It's two different things.
I was just going to say the difference in that.
That's what I'm saying.
Even when you mention Kobe and a young Kobe, you talk about those air balls in Utah. It was like he still went down swinging though. The problem that people have with Ant is he didn't even try. Like it's not that you didn't get there. It's not any of those things that you were mentioning, Jalen. It's like it looked like you weren't even trying. And then when they ask you about it, you say, "Oh, I made the right plays." That's not what we're used to hearing from people who are alpha males on a basketball team.
Kobe did that against the Phoenix Suns. He refused to shoot the ball, and then he
quit later in his career. Though he had championships, buddy.
He don't matter, bro.
But he was still playing.
Ant can't afford to do that.
No, we're not doing that, Spike. We're not doing that. What? We're not doing that because now you're holding a great, a bona fide legend to a different standard to a guy that you're talking about right now when they should be held to the same standard. If we're projecting that is the trajectory of Ant Edwards, we can't say, Kobe already. Hold on, bro. You already spoke. You put your foot in your mouth, and I'm just trying to help you take it out. I'm just trying to help you take it out. So let me do that. Appreciate it.
I was with you until then, but nonetheless.
Look.
Proceed.
At the end of the day, Ant Edwards does need to get better. Ant Edwards does have to have a better finals or a better end to his season, right? And go down swinging. At the end of the day, we can attribute a lot of those things to either the personnel, the coaching, and his age. Like Jalen said, two things could be true. He can be great and still have to learn how to overcome. Mentality?
What about mentality?
I don't think we have to question his mentality. Hold on. We have to question strategy. And strategy it's not a cop out. I'm giving you facts. It's not just a strategy I'm trying to explain it. It's not just strategy of you learning how to get your shots exactly how and when to get your shots to control the flow of the game that everything goes through you, but it's also the coaching and putting the others in the positions to help contribute to that. And we know that, first of all, he doesn't have the second best player, is not up to par to get beyond a stacked team like OKC. That's number one. Number two, somebody mentioned it, where he got thoroughly outcoached. Finch got thoroughly outcoached. And then the strategy. Did I not say, I forgot what game it was, but we did the show like right after the game, and I was saying they need to move Edwards off the ball when they put Caruso on him, and it was like, bro, you barely getting past the three-point line. You're not getting nothing. They need to move him off the ball and get the ball to him in positions to score versus him creating it. That's strategy, bro.
Two things can be true, Doc, though. Ant is extremely talented, but B, he's not top eight. Y'all overestimated where he was at this moment.
who's your eight, Sheldon?
All right.
Hold on. Track's agenda said we all picked Minnesota regardless of all of these takes. Nah, hell no. Nah. I didn't pick Minnesota.
Yeah.
I picked the Lakers to beat Minnesota.
I thought Ant mentality was different.
But
regardless of what FIFO say,
I picked OKC, but I definitely thought Ant was going to
lose. Me and Ken the only ones picked OKC.
I picked OKC. I picked Denver over OKC, but I picked OKC over Minnesota.
But okay, well, now we need to talk about SGA because he didn't have any issues. I didn't see him having any issues at all.
Because the refs helped him out. That's the mentality that you want.
Hey, and who's their second best player? Who's their second best player? Who's their fucking rock?
They got a plethora of dudes.
Williams, their second best
player. SJ is 26, so I feel like, man, like that 3-year difference, it matters, bro. It's a lifetime in the NBA, bro, you know?
At 23, SGA was learning the game.
Was a story out just recently with Patrick Beverly telling SGA, like, now you that dude. And SGA didn't even have it in his mind. It was like when he was 23 years old.
You talking about AE? You mean Anthony Edwards?
Patrick Beverly played for the Clippers.
Patrick
Beverly went up to him and told him, like, bro, your mentality needs to be that I'm a superstar. And SGA did not have that mentality. And I think that kind of goes to what we were talking about.
Well, he's Canadian. So did SGA prove himself to be the best player in the NBA during this postseason?
No.
Hold on. Before y'all do that. For Ken to bring up that point is kind of crazy, though. Because literally last year, you was the one dogging SGA because he didn't make it past the second round against Denver. So you can't have it both ways.
Who is you? It's a different year, Jalen.
No. It's a year difference. It is a year difference. And Ant made it farther than him both of these years. So why does it like seem like it skirts? Oh, he finally made it through. Like, it took him to learn from last year in order to get to where he's at this year.
And I've been saying and questioning and wondering, asking the panel, why can't OKC go to the finals this year when they've been proving themselves to be better this year than everybody else? Also, the way I dogged SGA last year, I'm going to hold that same energy for Ant this year. And I think the run that they went to the Western Conference Finals, as I pointed out, that believe last year, I think was a fucking fluke. Steph got hurt. We cannot ignore that shit.
It's a fluke 2 years in a row, Ken?
Bro, Steph was hurt.
I mean, I'm just asking. They did it 2 years in a row, though.
Last year was last year. I don't think I'm understanding why you're asking this question when I'm saying the reason why they got to the Western Conference Final is because the Warriors' best player was hurt.
That would be easy to say if they didn't do it this year as well. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm pointing out. Like, yeah, you can say that was a fluke. They shouldn't have been there. The best player was hurt. But they also repeated and done it again.
It was a different team, a different set of circumstances. The point is that if Curry was playing this year, odds are they don't get past this team because I picked the Warriors. We cannot overlook that injury.
I mean, if KD don't go to the Warriors, LeBron got three more rings. And I don't care. Like, niggas,
the circumstances are the circumstances, but it does matter, but they are the circumstances.
My thing is, if my grandma had wheels attached to her, she'd be a bike.
That's the thing is, it's very important for us as an insulated group to talk about the narratives that we make and the narratives that we stick to versus what national media, ESPN, and Fox talk about. I never bought that whole, Anthony Edwards is the giant slayer, whatever the fuck they were trying to say. But like, all that shit is marketing, bro. Like, they're trying to sell Adidas shoes. That's cool. But LeBron is 38, 39. Anything that he wins just adds into his case. And I am holding him to a double standard of, I don't care if he loses, because everything at this point in his career is just an additive. Curry is out. So I agree with Ken, but that is what happened. They did take advantage of him being out, and they won that series. Him and Jokic last year, that was an all-time great series, and I give that to him. But beyond that, this whole narrative that we keep putting on Anthony Edwards, I'm not falling for any of that shit. He himself keeps saying, I'm not the face of the league. I'm lead at the Wimby and them. He keeps saying that. So it's like, I don't hold him to that standard. I do hold him to being a great player, and I think that he's going to continue to develop. I thought that he made a lot of strides as a playmaker this year that people didn't really pay attention to. But there needs to be better roster construction, and there's going to be a coaching change in the next year. So that's where I'm at.
What about SGA?
Yeah, to your question about SGA, he gained my respect a lot this postseason run, Ken. If I feel like this is almost like the Eagles, where it was like, eventually you're just going to have to You just gonna have to acknowledge that they're good.
Never.
And my issue ain't got nothing to do with really SGA. I know he does the floppy fouls and all that shit. And OKC gets away with the most fouls that don't get called on defense. But it was more so my questioning of OKC had to deal with the whole Sam Presti experiment and how that was going. And so far, he's four games away from proving that he's one of the best GMs of the last 20 years.
I think he's already.
If they win this finals,
thank
if they
you.
No, I'm saying, listen,
it ain't got nothing to do with the finals. Like, he's already proven.
Well, no, well, to me, it's like, you ain't proven until you win something.
No, GMs don't have to win a championship to be one of the best GMs. Yeah, that, like,
I disagree.
Come on.
Nick. I disagree.
No, look at their roster. Everybody would agree. Everybody times. In the NBA.
I'm just saying.
Everybody in the NBA agrees that this is the best roster, top to bottom. That
I agree with Nick.
I'm just saying this, Lou. If OKC lose the Indiana this series, are you going to still say Sam Presti is one of the best GMs of the last 20 years?
100%. Because who's the African cat that went to Toronto from Denver?
Ujiri.
Masai Ujiri. Yeah. And he was already considered one of the better ones. And he hadn't won nothing. And he hadn't done half of what Sam Presti has done.
I think
Sam Presti. Hold on, Q. Sam Presti has drafted 3 MVPs and traded for one before he was an MVP. And then if we're talking about your favorite word, Nick, development. Look at all of the guys that have been developed in OKC. Right. Like in that first stint, dudes right like now. Perry Jones, dudes like Thabo Sefolosha. Like, we had dudes that developed to their max potential in that system, and he's done it multiple times over. And not only draft guys, but trade for you can't talk Sam Presti.
I just want to say one thing, Lou, and somebody can agree. Lou,
I also say it, Nick.
Because to me, and I don't know if you think where I'm going with this kid. To me, it's like if you're around a lot of bad bitches, but you don't hit none of them. That's right, so cool. That's Sam Presti right now, FIFA. He got all these bad bitches. Anyway, you ain't been with none of them. But you know,
hey, when you dropped the MVP, you been with one of them.
All I was gonna say is that Massage Nick is right. We looked at you, Jerry, different when they won the title.
Exactly.
Well, then Scott Brooks.
Masai didn't have he hadn't done what Scott Sam Presti has half done. Masai never drafted an MVP.
I'm just saying that when he won a title, that's when people started to give him a lot of props.
Of course. Go ahead.
I think y'all putting that title stuff way too high for a GM when they got a lot to do with coaching and players. If I draft Kevin Durant, if I draft James Harden, Russell Westbrook, Chet Holmes, like I've drafted all of these players. I traded for SGA. He's done his job, bro. He's done his job at an elite level.
No,
I
ain't got
shit to do.
How do you look at the Phoenix Suns?
What do you mean?
I feel like what the case of Sam Presti is he's cemented himself as a great drafting GM, but I think history parses that out. Like, I feel you, but that's drafting, really. And I think what history does is history separates guys that have really good drafting and really good player development skills versus guys that have that, and they also win mad championships. And I think that there is a second category.
Give me an example.
Name one. The Spurs GM. I think that him having R.C. Buford. I think that R.C. Buford has cemented himself not only as a development guy.
He also had the greatest coach of all time.
It don't matter.
I feel you. But didn't R.C. Buford in that group either come together at the same time, or he promoted Pop from within, from not being a basketball player? From not being a basketball guy,
y'all are taking points away from Sam Presti because he has.
I'm saying that a ring cements the fact that all that development led to the ultimate goal. If we're gonna criticize the players for being 23 and not getting to the fucking finals, then I'm gonna criticize the GM who has the ability to draft all these MVPs, and there's nothing to show for it besides, damn, yo, Presti's in a what if category right now. A lot of guys in 20 years, if yes, he is. If he doesn't win a championship, do you realize that there will be documentaries talking about the what if Thunder? Man, what if they just beat the they were favored to beat the Heat in 2012 and they didn't?
We were doing that in Boston.
They're gonna say it's a Seattle curse.
I'll say this. Look, like if there's a proverbial line that crosses you into this GOAT territory of GMing, a championship does move you across that line way faster. You can get across that line without a championship. And all I'm saying is that Sam Presti has crossed that line, not only because of the guys that he's drafted and also the roster construction, also the guys that went undrafted, a la Lou Dor- like what he, if you ask a GM, what is the job description, is what Sam Presti has done.
No, it's not.
Let's revisit this conversation when the finals are over.
I know we gloss over SGA. SGA deserves his props. He's an MVP. First time as the MVP in the finals since what Steph did it in what 2015. Steph did it last. I know back then. So shout out to SGA. He earned my respect. But I'll be damned if you want me to give respect to a GM that ain't got no ring or rings. Fuck out of here. The whole point is to build a championship roster.
Of the greatest teams of this generation.
And what they win, Lou? Besides your respect.
In terms of talking about SGA, I will say this. I feel that he has finally mastered his game. I don't like some of the calls that he gets. I feel like they bail him out a lot, but that's not to take away from his skill set and the mastery of the mid-range game and the herky jerky game that he has. It's a more beautiful Tyrese Halliburton type of game where it's unfiltered, unkiltered. Like you really can't coach it; you just perfect it. If that's your game, and he's done that, so I definitely give him props. And he's overcome. And then. Big gesture when he won the MVP, getting the whole team rollies like that. That's what a class guy does. So hey, look, shout out to
be wasting y'all time arguing about questions that we didn't ask, and now y'all want to ask.
Ken froze up on it.
You see,
Ken, you froze.
See what happens?
He froze up on that dig you was trying to do.
No, but he asked, do we think that SGA is the best player in the NBA? I still can't give him that yet.
Who you got?
I personally just side with Jokic because for him to push that Thunder team to 7 when they had really 3.5 guys serviceable at any given point with Mike Malone and the GM getting fired right before the season. I mean, right before the postseason, I got to give Jokic number one, personally. Just seeing what he was able to do. I think Giannis,
where is SGA for me, ranked for you?
For me, he is top five. To me, he is top five. Like, I think he's definitely top five. He could be three.
You got Giannis.
I got Giannis. And then I wouldn't be mad if you say SGA is right there. So
like, the only reason, and I agree with you, Q, and I put him second or third too, and I agree with you because I feel like this team would still be a playoff team if he wasn't on it.
What?
I agree.
I think this team
is deep. Is that
what, say what I'm saying? Yes. Yeah. What I'm saying is
go to me and people point with Sam Preston.
Yeah, the team is a deep team as far as the players that can play the game, and I think that this team would still be a good team.
How did team get deep like it?
The GM, right. and I agree. Yeah.
All right, y'all. We're gonna go ahead and move on to what
you got. We need to talk up. Is it we need to talk,
or is that on watch?
Jalen came through all like.
I think this is me, right? I think I got this one this week. Mm-hmm. All right, bet on watch. ESPN, man. Y'all on watch. And the reason why I say ESPN, y'all on watch, you are acquiring a good bit of people's childhood history that's attached to the NBA and getting the inside the NBA by acquiring the TNT staff. Don't mess it up. ESPN. These guys have built something that is arguably the best NBA talk show ever, late night talk show ever. You know what I'm saying? Only Dead in Sports is behind them. And just don't mess it up. Like, don't mess up the chemistry. Don't mess up what they got going on. Don't anger them. Don't make Charles Barkley retire before he needs to. Let them boys cook because they've been cooking without you. They don't really need you. So let them boys cook. ESPN, you on watch.
What I heard is that the production crew, everything and all that will still be produced in Atlanta. ESPN is just licensing them out. Like, so they just basically broadcasting the show.
Yeah.
Some people are saying that the commercial breaks may be what is the compromise that they're trying to discuss with the inside the NBA guys, which means that, like, how ESPN always has, like, they basically have a commercial break every damn near 15, 20 minutes and not let people just cook within the segments. If they don't do that, then I think the show is fine. Because it's like, well, it seems like they're hands off for everything except for, like, we just broadcast the shit.
Well, that's one part of it. The other thing is this. I don't know if you noticed, but a lot of ESPN analysts and, you know, faces, they do multiple programs in a single day, not only TV, but radio and podcast and a whole bunch of other different type of things. And that is the expectation that Disney has just in general. So that's primarily what I'm talking about. And also Charles Barkley, I don't know if you heard him on a certain podcasts, he's been saying that, like, I'm not doing more work. Like, I'm closer to retirement than anything. So I'll just retire on y'all, and y'all gotta pay me my money because it's contractually obligated. Yeah. So all I'm saying is don't stretch these guys to a point where, you know, they don't want to do inside the NBA anymore because you want them to be on with Stephen A in the morning and do all of these other type of things. So just don't mess it up. Like, I think they are on a good on ramp right now by keeping the production in-house and keeping a lot of the things the same, but let's not change what has made them great. Let's not splatter them all over the place. Pause.
I heard.
Why? I don't know why. Splattered them all over the place.
Crazy. Jesus Christ. Charles Barkley was on Dan Patrick's talk show this week, and he said that exactly what you said, FIFO. I'm not letting them put me on. I'm not doing SportsCenter. I'm not doing First Take. I'm going to do what was required of me to do with TNT. And he also said that TNT is still doing content where they got them doing the NBA Tonight stuff. Excuse me, whatever the name of the fucking show is, but they still doing
content. Inside the NBA.
NBA tonight. Whatever they call it.
He was saying, Charles Barkley was saying that they really didn't have no direction with TNT now because they can't show clips. They can't show NBA games because they don't have the licensing rights anymore. So it's going to be really interesting to see how they merge in with ESPN if they only doing them. If they only coming in and doing the Ernie, Kenny, and Charles and Shaq thing. Like, it's funny that I don't know if that's going to work.
Yeah, it's funny to me that they're doing all these interviews about it, and they're very you can tell that they got a strong stance on what they feel it, and they're not hiding it. But it's crazy to me though that nothing has been discussed at this point. Like
that's insane. I agree. That's insane. Charles Barkley said they shot a pilot for a TNT show they were going to do. And he said the pilot was terrible because they didn't know what they were doing.
Yeah,
I'm just gonna close us out on this segment by saying that for anybody who shares the opinion of just simply by myself, right? I believe that Inside the NBA has been washed for a long time. So it's a safe space if you share that opinion with me. Everyone else is going like all that shit. They've been washed for a minute. They just old haters. All they do is say, "Oh, I don't like the game look today." I'm not watching that shit, bro. It's been over.
And is it getting older and it's getting worse, bro?
It's bad, bro. Y'all want to see Charles and Shaq?
I won't stretch. I won't say as far as it's. It's bad, but it has definitely deteriorated from what it once was. Doc, like, I'm not as hyped to watch it.
Spike, you giving me a butterface argument. Stop. Like, yo, yep, exactly. I'm not hearing that shit, bro. I'm not hearing that shit.
Well, the New York Knicks, not so unfortunately, could not continue their effort to force the game 7 against the Indiana Pacers and suffered a deflating loss on the road, 125-108. What's one change you would make to the Knicks to improve them for next season?
I think they made
Nick.
It.
Are you starting with Nick?
They made
we
it.
Start, yeah, we start with Nick.
Hey, Doc, I think we have a glitch because Nick knew this was coming up.
Well, no, I was going to say there's breaking news that the New York Knicks have relieved Tom Thibodeau of his head coaching duties. There hasn't been a replacement made yet, but the rumor is, or there's a lot of rumors that it's Mike Malone.
Inshallah.
I would say that they need to, for me, it was what the series really came down to was who has the better bench. And Indiana clearly did. And I think that's what I would have focused on this offseason. I would have given Tibbs another year just because since he's gotten a head coaching job, the Knicks have increased or have gotten better as time goes on, sign some certain injuries.
Back-to-back 50-butt seasons, and they made the conference finals for the first time in 25 years.
Back-to-back 50 seasons since the 90s, too, I think. So it's like he was doing some things. Now, again, with his pedigree, he's known as someone who can get you right there but not can't get you over the top. You know what I'm saying? So it's the weirdest thing. I'm very neutral on this, Shelton. Like, him getting fired, if he was a black head coach, I would make an argument they did him wrong, especially because, like, who's winning 50-plus games a season and getting to the conference finals these days as a head coach? This list is short, if there is any. But the way they went out against Indy, they should have won that series. I wholeheartedly and I'm saying in 7. I'm saying in 7. I'm not saying that they should have blown them out. But if you look at some of the things, like, he was coaching backpedaling. He wasn't running forward like how he was in other series. He was coaching on his heels. We need him to go to the bench.
I'll say this. Like, we've seen coaches win the championship and get let go. Like, the championship. So, you
know, At least a year later, though. It wasn't in the same offseason.
Who was the dude that used to coach in Indiana and then went to the Lakers?
Frank Vogel got 1 year after the bubble. You know what I'm saying?
But Thibodeau didn't win the championship.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying.
So that's why he got let go right now.
He did what we asked him to do though in the beginning of the season.
But there's a couple of things. I think that in a macro, right? Because I think we discussed this last week. Like, should Thibodeau keep his job? And I said I'm with you, Nick, one more year because he did what you asked him to do. That's the macro. Right. Like, OK. Right. You're looking at it from a fisheye from up above. But when you look at the micro, like I've always said, it's the same old thing. And it's the same old thing that I've been saying that he's not a championship level head coach. What is this offense? Right. I saw this thing that said Cat got Thibodeau fired 2 times in 6 years, which is crazy work. But at the end of the day, Thibodeau, and I stand by it. I will always stand by it. Thibodeau's not a championship level head coach. For this team to move forward, I think they need another bucket getter or an offensive system that doesn't make Brunson work so hard to get buckets. It's kind of the same thing that we saw with Minnesota.
1,000.
Bifo, when has he had a championship level team?
Chicago Bulls.
With Derrick
Rose. And it was a lot like this.
And then he left D Rose in the game when they were up 17 on the Sixers.
That team was supposed to win the championship. Y'all saying that?
I got a question.
Not
competing. I'm asking you, is that team good enough to win a championship?
Yeah, they were good enough.
Yeah,
they were good.
Yeah, they were good enough.
They went to the Eastern Conference Finals. They pushed the Heat to 6.
Yep. And they did. But they were the number one seed.
Nick. At what point did you because you wanted Tibbs fired at one point, right?
Not necessarily. It was like at one point of the season, it was looking ugly. They kind of turned around in the back end of the second half. Like a lot of teams like started
catching fire in the second half of the season, my thing was going into the playoffs, I was like, bruh, these late game execution shit. I was watching that all season with the Knicks. It was like, bruh, it don't seem like he's coaching to get them to win games. Like Q pointed out, Rick Carlisle, you see how good he was to steal. You see how game one of that series set the tone for everything else. And that was how coaching is, how you use your timeouts, mm-hmm. how, situationally, all that stuff, how you set things up. It's like Tibbs' main focus is defense. It's kind of like Mike Tomlin. He's the Mike Tomlin of the NBA, except he don't have a ring. Whereas like
– he ain't Mike Tomlin.
Exactly. Okay, but I'm just saying how he focuses on one side of the he's basketball, and he focuses on one side of the basketball and doesn't really pay attention and let everybody else do anything on that other side. So if he has a superstar like a Derrick Rose or like a Brunson, he just lets them do whatever and doesn't help them get creative with how they do things to either help themselves physically to last a long season. Or to be even creative in games where like we're facing a team that's just as talented. Mm-hmm. My thing with the with him being fired, I'm neutral on it because I knew there had to be a change. And with all the moves that Leon Rose and them did, it was going to be hard to say like, okay, now we're just going to throw Cat out and try to get Giannis. And it's like, at some point, you're going to have to let this coach go. Because all the other moves we've been doing has got you. Leon can say, nigga, the moves I've done have taken us farther, not you coaching. You know what I'm saying? We're going to see that moving forward.
And this is where I wanted to just gather everybody. Because for all my Knicks fans who are on, like, it's almost like Republican Democrat shit. It's like you're either on the left or you're on the right of this issue. If you think that Tibbs deserved another year, I am not going to like twist the wound. But for the people who share my opinion, this is exactly what the doctor ordered. And I think that this is a sign of the changing of the guard within New York Knicks front office and their brain trust. One of the issues that we have so often in sports is people are kind of just paralysis by analysis, where they overthink too much instead of just doing what feels right. And I think that what was on everyone's mind all year long is everything that Tibbs brings to a team. Is, yeah, he brings the defense. Yes, he brings, you know, raising your floor. Yes, he brings, you know, some better offensive continuity if you're coming from a coach that has no business really being your coach. He's going to look like the prom queen compared to the other girl that you just had. But when you get him there, you realize, oh, this is why you've been divorced four times. Because you see what goes on when you don't experiment with two big lineups. You see what happens when you don't play DeLon Wright over campaign. You see what happens when you don't get play set up for McBride. He should be your quasi Lou Will type of guy off the bench. This is what happens when you play Josh Hart 40 minutes a night, every single night. This is what happens when you try to go four rounds in the playoffs with six guys. It's unacceptable. And you're not going to win in today's NBA when your coach is too stubborn on those margins. You see Rick Carlisle went damn near 11 deep, where you got Thomas Bryant minutes. You have Tony Bradley minutes. You have TJ McConnell. You have Nembhard. You have the dude with the mustache. I forget his name. They went 11, 12 deep. Shepard. And they were running circles, and the pace was just – you saw the ball was popping. The offensive side of the ball for the Knicks, it's a terminal problem. It's inoperable. You have to take him out of the equation because, yes, you know what you have with Towns. We know what we have with Brunson. But the fact that you never experimented with Robinson as a two big lineup, when you have the Pacers having their sparing minutes with Bradley and Siakam, they're like sparing minutes with Siakam and Turner, just to get, you know, big guys on the court to make it tougher on Brunson. There's no transition defense. And I believe that everything that you saw with Tibbs, you shake your hat. I mean, you shake his hand, you take your hat off and say, thank you for your service. But this is the Mike Brown to Steve Kerr moment that the New York Knicks need. I mean, this is the Mark Jackson to Steve Kerr moment. This is the Mike Brown to whoever else moment.
And that's why I'm go ahead, Jay. Go ahead.
I think, and I see your point, Q, and I see FIFO nodding, and I appreciate how optimistic it is for them. And it does make sense on, like, if you look at it as a base level. But some of the rumblings, and I mean, take it with a grain of salt, is that this wasn't even, like, the executive. This wasn't a Leon Rose, like, decision. This was more for James Dolan.
That's
Dolan's
what I was going to ask.
And they saying that he's now more involved because his pet project is over with. He was dealing with the spear in Vegas, and since that's taken off, he's good now. And he's about to get his hands back into the pot. Now, the last couple of years, they've been building without him with his hands in the pot. And so that's why I said it sounds very optimistic, but if James Dolan is now getting back involved, the Knicks are going to go revert backwards
right,
to
man.
What they
you want. You a hand ass nigga. Compared. And that's why we don't have you talking on segment. That's why we don't have you talking on segment.
As much as you feel like I'm hating, am I lying, though? Am I lying?
We got the host back, Jake.
So yeah, like I get y'all point, but if that is the truth, then I don't see anything moving forward, because it's just like how Jerry Jones would probably got rid of
Jim. Cut his mic off.
I need the credit. I need to have my fingerprints on this because we look good now. Like, I need to make sure I can say I did it.
Okay, yeah, he's now, similar to that. I'll say the Saints owner that you want to call out owners. My thing is this: I don't blame the move. I don't really have a huge issue with it. It's just that it's just a weird thing of how this is more of a conversation of how we go through coaches. And I think you brought this up too at one point, as far as like the NBA, how they go through coaches where you think anybody can coach a team, and you don't really value that. I'm just looking at when you tell, like, if I told you going into the season, Ken, the Knicks are going to not only get to the Eastern Conference Finals but beat the Boston Celtics, you would say, oh shit, that's a phenomenal season. And then if I said, oh yeah, should Tibbs get fired if they do that, you'd be like, hell no. And now with here the we are.
No, hold on, but if you frame that, the next question would be, so did they make the finals and did they win? And if you say, Nick, all I'm saying is you got to complete your thought process, bro. You can't leave us on a cliffhanger. If you say, hey, they beat the Boston Celtics and they went to the Eastern Conference Finals, well, would they then make the finals and did they win? And the answer is no and no. Then now, where you are right now in purgatory of, well, you know, it is what it is with Thibodeau, that's everybody would be in that same position. And here's the thing. Hold on, real quick, Q. What we always say is, if you're going to get rid of a coach, can you upgrade that coach? And in this offseason, you can do that. And that's why I'm
– Isn't an upgrade?
That's what Mike Malone is 100%
potentially, upgrade. Potentially, people always like, oh man, that grass ain't always greener, but sometimes it is, dude. So I don't know why people always say that. Like, yeah, like,
you so can... y'all are hands down saying that Mike Malone is a better coach.
100%. I 1,000% believe that Mike 100%. Malone is a better coach than Thibodeau.
What would he do differently?
Offensive flow, continuity. Yes. The only reason why it didn't work out in Denver is because Denver became old and they got completely decimated by the second apron. And the GM butted heads with how to use the roster. Mike Malone wanted to do it a different way. GM wanted to do it another way. I believe that you have enough guys and you have flexibility with contracts to where you could make a splash move if you want. You can get better on the margins with a bench. And if you're going to do that, as a New Yorker, as people who've been to New York, if you know native New Yorkers, good ain't good enough. Go for the gusto. If you got it, put it all, bet on black, bet on red, bro. Like, put it all on the table. And this is the issue. If you think that Thibodeau is going to get you where you're going, you have to break down this run to see that, no, man, this was a Cinderella run, and you can't rely on Cinderella runs. What the Pacers can do, they can recreate a lot of what they've done over and over and over if they keep a lot of this core together. If you look at the story of the Knicks this offseason, I understand that Nick tried to, you know, be reductive and say, if you said that Tibbs got to the Eastern Conference Finals, you would say you can't fire him. But what if I told you a different picture of, we need Cat miracle threes to put away a young Detroit Pistons team. We need Jalen Brunson to drop Ausar Thompson in late, 1 minute left on the clock to close out games. We're you know, in dogfights against this young, scrappy team. We make it to a Boston series where we're down 20 the first two games, and we miraculously fight back because we're just a team of dogs, right?
And but, Q, pause right there. Judge positioned the Indiana Pacers, and what did they do to the number one
the Cavaliers? Come on. And they they're taking down the Cavalier. Regardless,
he could have played through that, Cam.
Yeah, he had a total injury.
But y'all saying all this, like, so am I wrong? Were they not up 3-1 in both of those series?
Mm-hmm.
So both Boston and Detroit, y'all going into the weeds of it, but at the end of the day, they had favorite in not in the Boston series, but outside of FIFO's mindset, because he didn't even think Brunson was the best player in that series, they were favored in most of these games, and they got up 3-1. I care about results.
I feel you. Awesome,
what we talk about all the time, show.
I feel you. But when you don't get to your ultimate goal, which is the championship, we have to then do the autopsy to break
that
down.
That wasn't the ultimate goal this season. This season was the ultimate. No one said the Knicks are making it to the finals.
I know, but Nick, when the picture starts to become clear, that like, oh shit, we can win this race. Now you have to have different expectations, and that's what the Knicks are doing right here, in my personal opinion.
I think,
Ken, the Sixers are hurt. The Cavaliers go out in the first round. Jason Tatum tears his Achilles in your series. You know what I'm saying? The deck is clear. And then you have this path, and then in a series against the Pacers, where you're getting run out of the gym, your coach says, all right, let me start going to my bench. You look like you're throwing shit at the wall.
Well, the series is over when Tatum got hurt way before. Tatum got hurt in the game that, well, they were still down. They were still significantly down in that series when he got hurt. So I don't know how much of a difference it would have made. Plus, I don't know about Mazzulla. But nevertheless, I don't think it was necessarily the wrong move. And I don't necessarily fault them for going to get Mike Malone, who they might think is better. But what I do know is that Joker and Brunson are two completely different players, and you can do a lot more things with Joker on the court than you can with Brunson. So I don't know what Mike Malone can do to change things. I think Thibs probably lost this series when Rick Carlisle coached circles around him. Once Thibs had to make adjustments and play guys that he didn't play all year, it was a wrap. When you put in
Durrell, but that point right there,
exactly.
But Ken, that point right there is why Mike Malone is better factually than Thibodeau.
Because Mike Malone does the same thing.
Factually, he's better than Thibodeau because he plays a deeper bench. He makes better in game and game to game adjustments than Thibodeau does. Thibodeau just runs it back. Thibodeau's like, my philosophy is so good, we are going to win. And like the same word Q just used, miraculously, they won because they got a dog in Brunson, right? And we see his character arc because daddy's on the bench. And we see that tough as nails grit where it was instilled. And we see it on the court, right? And Thibodeau likes those type of players. But Mike Malone can, and remember, let's go even further back. Remember, your favorite player once upon a time was Boogie Cousins. And Boogie Cousins had a very interesting and tough time early on in his career. And his career didn't go on the up and up until he got who as a head coach? He figured that out, Ken. Great coaches put their best players in positions to be the best versions of themselves. And all I'm saying is Mike Malone has a championship because of his doing and all of the other things I just named that Thibodeau does not do.
I don't think Mike Malone could have won this series.
Mm-mm. See, here's the thing is that even if you think Mike Malone couldn't have won this series, Mike Malone wouldn't look discombobulated and he wouldn't look completely outcoached. That's where the thing is, I don't even want to couch this just on a Mike Malone thing because we're getting into a versus coaching question. What we're talking about is there was a terminal problem with the Knicks offense and how they run their team. And if you think that this iron is hot right now, then you got to move on. And I'm applauding the move because we get held to a really bad standard. You know what I'm saying? Black coaches, we don't get no, oh man, we'll run it back next year. Like Mark Jackson, hey, appreciate it, man. Thank you for your service. But we're gonna go get Steve Kerr. Like Ty Lue, thank you for your service, but we're gonna go get Kenny Atkinson. Like, hey, Mike Brown, you were coach of the year last year. But De'Aaron Fox and you don't seem to be getting along right now, so you gotta get the fuck out. But we gonna go act like Thibodeau's Phil Jackson because you couldn't at least the Pacers like a competitive.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying like
not you, but
certain fans. I'm just saying like the people who would say like, oh, it's good that Tibbs got fired. And all that. Again, this is maybe a coaching question, but it's just like, what does a coach have to do outside of win a championship to secure their job?
At this point, that's it. Right?
That's nuts because that means that there's 30 or there's 29 other teams that should fire their coach every season.
And they at some point will get there.
Yeah, because and right now, like I said, we're seeing how many playoff teams coaches got fired? We seeing more of that.
That means that if Pop didn't have medical issues, should he have been fired? Period. Like you know what I'm saying?
Well,
it's like,
I think he's going to be
fired. Or Spoelstra, like should he get fired at this offseason?
It's New York though. Like Nick, like you know what I'm saying? Like we can dip back and we have to dip into the cultural aspect too. It's New York. Like I think that the expectation is. Bro, the iron is hot. Like, Philly could be a dud next year. So, those are easy wins.
Y'all need to ask the real questions.
What's that?
Can Jalen Brunson get it done?
All right.
I thought you was going to say Cat because Cat.
Nah, we know Cat. Hey, Cat was probably the better player in that series. Brunson's getting locked up.
An undersized guard like Jalen Brunson cannot be asked to carry your team to a championship. In my opinion, he is top 10. Right now, he had a top 10 season, but he is a 1B player that you need to designate him as 1B. He's not a 2, but I think he's 1B. You need your 1A, and that is theoretically a Giannis Antetokounmpo, where you would bring him in as the guy, and Brunson, we're going to play together. Pick and roll should be elite. That's what you want. You know what I'm saying? I don't think that people are being fair to Brunson because it's the same thing that D-Rose fell victim to. You're riding your star point guard into the ground and then expecting him to save you in clutch time.
Hey, Shelton, how did that work with Nesbitt? Nesbitt had him.
He had him locked. Hey, look. He tried to hit, but he was done.
I ain't never seen nobody that bad.
And Nick, Mikal Bridges, just what, a month and a half ago, was making headlines talking about, oh, the minutes. I mean, Tibbs, don't be afraid to use me coming off the bench. Like,
no,
he looked miserable all year.
Well, he out of there now.
one last quick thing, though, Nick. I did see Jeff Teague was talking about it. It made me kind of think, like, maybe the players had something to do with it, too. Because Jeff Teague was saying all Tibbs ever did for him was, you know, when he coached them was like, say, damn, I was like, damn.
Yeah.
You know, like, maybe the guys were saying, like, look, we're not really reacting to him. So
I'm not necessarily defending Tibbs. It's just more about when you ask, it's weird. It's like if you ask your girl, I'm gonna marry you if you do these things. If she do those things, and you leave her for somebody else, it's like, damn, nigga, I thought I did everything you wanted, and it's Nick, you ain't question, good bro. Enough.
Wouldn't you rather do this now than be Absolutely. Miserable again?
I'm so neutral. I'm only not saying anything on y'all side because I literally have everyone else who can say other stuff on the other side. I'm just saying that. From how someone could be thinking is like this puts a lot of pressure on whoever the next coach is of the Knicks, whether it's Mike Malone or not. Like they have to win the championship now. There's no in between. And can you bring up a point where people have questioned not only the defensive efforts of Cat and Brunson, but you're just now asking as can Brunson, who's the best player on the team, most reliable player on the team, even get you there? So this to me is a bigger issue. Then what coaching can do, one coach change ain't gonna do nothing. To me, I said if you want one change for the Knicks, that you got to get a better bench. We couldn't do nothing after that sixth man or that seventh guy.
Yeah, once Wright came in,
that's someone.
You know,
I'd rather have the Wright brothers.
He had Carlisle had some guy named Jalen Walker coming in.
Yeah,
and Thomas Bryant had him.
Landry, it was crazy. Landry,
McBride was playing really good defense. Yeah, I feel like at, at, He was hooping at times. And I feel like he could be a really good, like, six man, like, you know, microwave off the bench. But Tibbs is just offensively challenged, you know?
Yeah. Well, let's so Pacers, they made it here, and unlike Ant, they made it to the finals the next year.
Don't do that, kid, because you can't even name a head coach. You can't even name the, head coach's name for Minnesota.
Anthony Edwards had the supporting cast that they had, shit.
Yeah. But I mean, favorites next year, or is it too early to have that conversation? Do we need to see how the finals go first? Because we need to talk about that next. Maybe we need to jump to that.
Yeah, the Pacers are favorites next year.
Nah. We'll talk about the Pacers. We'll talk about this next. Let's jump to the finals, though. They start this Thursday, and damn, who wrote this? And unfortunately, it will be the Oklahoma City Thunder facing the Indiana Pacers, with Game One being at OKC. Let's get into it, everyone. Who do you have winning the championship, and in how many games?
I'll start it off. You can give me OKC in six. I think Indiana is good enough to hang in there for a couple games, and they're going to get a couple. I really do believe that they have a good enough team to get a couple. But I'm excited to see this series. I really, really am. Because you got two sets of dogs on both sides. You got defensive stoppers on both sides. They kind of mirror each other. And you know, they both got the tall, lanky point guards that can get it done. I just think that SGA is more consistent than
Tyrese
Halliburton. Spike, you need to buy some Oklahoma gear, because that's the closest that anybody near Texas is going to be in the final.
Go ahead. I was just about to bring that
Eagles background. Like, you need to be more coherent with everything that we got going on right here.
Like, week one is in like 2 weeks. So what the fuck? Like, I mean,
you need to get that bullshit off your background.
October's tomorrow.
I agree with you. OKC and six. I was listening to Jason Williams, the black one, on ESPN earlier, and I 100% agree with his take. And like you said, these teams marry each other. Just OKC has a better version of what Indiana has, right? Like Tyrese Halliburton, underrated point guard or overrated point guard, whatever you want to call him, he's in the finals, but OKC got the MVP. Gritty white boy that comes off the bench. Yeah, you know, you guys got McConnell, but they got Caruso, champion. Like everything that they have, it's like one or two steps better than what Indiana has. I could also see OKC winning it in five because they're just that much better. You know what I'm saying? I love the matchup, but Indiana's strength won't be as strong against OKC like it was against New York. Like, when Indiana was getting fast break buckets off of made buckets from New York, that's not going to happen at OKC. You're not going to get them buckets. Now, you could play up and down, but OKC could play that pace too. So it's going to be very interesting, but I got OKC in six.
I got Thunder in five. I don't think it's going to be a competitive series at all. I think that the Pacers are outmatched. Like, I think that what OKC does on defense and how they were able to shut down Brunson and all the other opponents that they had in the playoffs. Like, I don't see Halliburton being that guy to be like, oh, I'm going to break this down and I'm going to come out on the end and carry my team to a couple of wins. I don't see that happen. So I got OKC in five.
I'm going to echo that. I think OKC wins this in five. Would not be surprised if it goes to six, but I'm betting on five. I'm betting on really close games, and I'm going to always put my money on, at this point, the OKC execution the last 3 minutes. I think that they're going to out-execute the Pacers. I think the Pacers are going to come back in one or two games and make it really fun. I think they might take game one or game two. So that's going to breed a lot of drama for the series, and I like that. But what these two teams are, you have the number one offense in the NBA, in the playoffs. I mean, and then you have the number one defense. And I think what FIFO is alluding to is that in the half court, when you as the OKC Thunder specialize in stopping the ball, right? Like, we're not going to let you. And even if you somehow meet in the middle, you're not going to get as many fast break points like the Pacers want to do, space and pace. The OKC Thunder, when you get the ball into the half court on defense, there's not somebody on the Pacers side that I think strikes fear into the heart of the Thunder as a scorer, as a guy that can just pull up. I'm dropping 40 tonight. I don't care. Everything is off of back cuts. Everything off is off of drive and kick. Everything revolves around Haliburton. And I think that they're going to try to just give him a bunch of different looks with Dort, give him a bunch of different looks with Caruso, different looks with, SGA, with the help. And then they're going to try to funnel everything into Chet and Hartenstein to make it tough. I think Siakam's going to have to be the one that carries the Pacers in a lot of these games because they're going to pay so much attention to Haliburton and how he creates. And I think that's exactly what the Thunder want, is one-on-ones. So unless Siakam and Miles Turner have the games of their life with some added help from Nesmith and TJ McConnell, I don't see this going further than five games. Because I think that OKC is that – they just young demons, bro. They get out and they run and they create turnovers.
I got OKC in four. My heart says OKC in three. But I'm thinking
– You just sour because they beat the Knicks.
Listen. I'm thinking this.
Sweep?
OKC has home court advantage. They have the MVP. And – they have the one thing that what Nico Collins been telling us all year, Ken. Whatever the name is, Nico, whatever. He was saying defense wins championships. Mm-hmm. And like Ken, like you pointed out, and what I was trying to say about the last series with the Knicks, I was like, if the Knicks can just play some defense, they can kind of make this a series. Clearly they didn't. But OKC's a different monster. Haliburton gonna add, he gonna file charges on them for sexual assault based off of how much they be harassing niggas when you get in the lane anytime.
No diddy.
No diddy. I don't think this is gonna be much of an entertaining finals. I think this is gonna be like 07 Spurs Cavs. Where they just where Indy's just a happy to be here. We ain't know who these niggas really was. They got one guy that everybody kind of likes. Maybe up and coming, but
every week you never cease to amaze me with at least one of your.
I'm just trying to say, like, people, this is why people. I wanted to talk to you. You can, if you have trouble with your son falling asleep, just have him watch this series. Both of y'all gonna be knocked out on the couch. It's about to be boring as hell.
Nick is somewhere gonna be curled up with his Timberlands, listening to Laugh After Death, crying and shit. Like, all right, bro.
when Nick mentioned harassing, it reminded me of, I think it was in the final game where the Knicks just crossed half court. And they just swarmed Jalen Brunson, bro. They abused him, man. And the whole crowd got hyped. They were all, man, it was actually beautiful to watch. I think, though, this is going seven.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
You hope it do.
I think the Pacers and Rick Carlisle, the way they run the offense, the way they play, I think it could work against OKC. And I think because everybody is essentially hot, I think Siakam has an advantage over Chet. He's probably going to cook Chet if Chet guards.
That's not that matchup.
Oh, well, that's what I was saying. Who's going to guard him? Miles Turner? Because he's probably going to like Miles Turner. Miles Turner struggled in that series.
Hartenstein
might have a better matchup. Yeah. So, yeah, who's going to guard Siakam?
It's gonna be Chet.
Dort. No, Lou Dort.
No, he's gonna have to probably take Haliburton.
Who, Dort? No, you put Caruso on probably Haliburton.
Yeah, but when
Dort, I was gonna say Hartenstein would go for Siakam And I would put Chet on Turner.
Well, either way, I think Siakam may have an advantage. But I don't know, man. I think it's one of those moments where I feel like we think it's going to be one of those games where it's going to be unentertaining. But I think the Pacers could probably steal game one, and we may have a series. I think that offense, their offense is really good. I don't know. I'll be curious to see how OKC slow it down. But I still got OKC winning.
Yeah, Ken,
you say Ken, OKC what?
How many games? How many games, Ken?
He says seven. Ken, the one thing that you just said right at the very end is the difference to me in this series. Indiana can't play half-court offense. Like they struggle because they don't have a go-to guy like that. Mm-hmm. Siakam is nice, but he's not a real bucket getter like that. He's their bucket getter, but he's not a true bucket getter like that. They have to play at a fast pace. If OKC makes an adjustment, because I think just the natural the naturalness of them being young, they're going to want to get up and down. If it becomes a track meet, a good coach is going to slow it down. Be like, you know what, this game, let's slow it down. Let's see how they react to that.
Favor though, do you think?
OKC.
OKC. They can outlast them. They can outlast them.
Because my thing is, I don't think so. The only advantage I see Indy having in the series is a head coach. Outside of that, everything to me favors OKC
because
they just as young. They play better defense. They have an MVP. Like they have role players. They can go deep in their bench too.
Mm-hmm.
It's just Rick Carlisle has been here, done that, and he can figure out some things that I don't even know. The Hamburglar, whoever the head coach is, OKC, he can probably do some things to make it close. But if we're talking about SGA, most of these games is gonna say just shit. Let me do me.
And you know? the thing is though is that OKC is so deep that I don't think that the guys would have ego about if Haliburton starts cooking. I think that you would immediately go to a defensive lineup with maybe just SGA and Jalen Williams as like your two guys. You would probably put Caruso, Thort, and then probably Hartenstein in to see if you can, you know, slow down whatever Haliburton has going on. And I think that that's going to work more often than not. Like I keep saying, if the Pacers had like an Anthony Edwards like next to Haliburton, this would be like, okay, this is going seven for sure. Because when the offense breaks down and the first read ain't there, second read there, ain't get a bucket. Like, yo, we need 30. Like, just go off, right? There's no one on the Pacers that of course, because the Knicks broke down because their defensive rotations and they were so tired at a certain point that they just kind of quit. Of course that the Pacers started just hitting out of rhythm buckets, out of offensive rhythm, off script is what I'm saying. That started to happen, but that was just a byproduct of them running the Knicks dry. You know what I'm saying? I don't think you can do that to the Thunder because they have, like I keep saying, they're the defensive version of what the Pacers do on offense. They are just as deep as the Pacers are on offense. The difference is that I think defense wins championships and you have two better offensive guys in SGA and in Williams.
Hey, Nick, how'd that go get a workout for Minnesota?
Y'all keep saying this like they have the same roster, man.
Hey, I want to hear none of that young stuff. If Indiana come out and whoop up on them boys, though. I want to hear that.
Hey, listen. They've never been here before.
You know what? Real quick, Nick. Sheldon, that's such an astute point because I'm not trying to spark up the conversation again, but if they lose, I don't want to hear anything about the baby Thunder because that's exactly what we did in 2012. So, you know.
Nah, there's no excuses now. We're in the chat.
And that's what y'all did this year.
Bro.
You and FIFO disrespected them all season long and the playoffs.
I'm not disrespecting them. I never picked them, but they're here. So I have to deal with what's here.
That's disrespectful. Disrespect
is like, yo, I think they're terrible. I'm just like, yo, I think they're too young. This is not a normal thing. They were young. And I will still bet that the average NBA fan will stick to that analysis of a young team can't really win like that. This is unheard of and this is unprecedented. So you got to give respect to it.
Ken, I think we win either way. Because if OKC, though, they shit the bed. I'm coming at the Sam Presti and SGA and all them. And if Indy get blown out, don't want to hear shit about who's a Burton, LeVar Burton. Fuck about none of them niggas. Like, that's all I'm trying to.
What are you gonna say, Jalen?
I guess I just want to see what the supporting cast look like for SGA on this stage. I think it's different. Like, I think their run hasn't really had any true pressure to it, per se, in my opinion, compared to what the Pacers have. Like, yeah, you can count Denver, but Denver's never had a bullshit-ass, like, bench. There was no depth to Denver. But I'm looking at the Pacers' run a little bit different. So I'm not taking the Pacers, but I'm just interested to see what happens. Because Jalen Williams is inconsistent. Like, y'all can – I mean, he's the number two option. And if it does turn into a track meet, like, if your number two is being inconsistent, that's just enough room for the Pacers to win. So, go ahead.
He could be – remember when James Harden was in the finals and that changed his whole career? He still accomplished a lot. He still was the MVP. But it changed his whole career. This is where I feel like Jalen Williams can be in that same mold where, like you mentioned, Jalen – he either is going to be turn the page and get better from his inconsistencies, or this is the player that he is. And yeah. I think the series will come down to OKC's big three with Shea, Chet, and Williams.
They got a big three.
I said they big three.
Yeah, I mean, they're three. They're three.
Yeah, I'm just interested to see exactly how they're still a young team, but I don't know if I'm 100% sold. Like, I may sound like FIFO and Q. I don't know if I'm 100% sold on, like, them having, like, the war wounds. I'm more convinced of that in Indiana than I am.
What's Indiana's war wounds?
I mean, Indiana had to go through Giannis. They went through the number one team. They had to play. Like, rather, I think the Knicks were as good as they made it to the Eastern Conference Finals. And playing in Madison Square Garden, watching Haliburton play on that stage like that repeatedly, that says a lot, bro. Like, I mean, that says a lot.
I agree. I think that, you know, it really is a pick 'em. I'm not going to disrespect nobody picking either Indiana or OKC. It's just I just go back to what I've seen from them making Jokic's game very uncomfortable for him and rendering the rest of that Denver roster like kind of just unplayable at certain points. It really is a pick'em, and I think that we have to look at the elevation and growth of this team as an outlier. So everyone who called me, you know, contradictory or whatever, I don't think that's a contradiction when new information presents itself. I can say that, yeah, this is an outlier, but I'm still not going to pivot from the fact that the NBA grown men normally win finals. Veterans normally win finals. So this could be the year where young pups finally do it, and that would be crazy to see.
And I know they're in the chat talking about Jokic. Like, yeah, I mean, yeah, they beat Jokic, but there was a six man rotation basically, and then Aaron Gordon got hurt at the end of the series. Like, I mean,
yeah, it's on one leg.
Yeah, so, I mean, they took them to seven. Denver should not have taken OKC to seven, if we're being honest about it. Like, that team should not. I mean, Jokic is great, but the team, everybody around him, because Jamal Murray barely showed up. Russell was inconsistent. Like, they should not have taken
him to seven. Aaron Gordon was hurt.
And, like, so, like, they shouldn't have taken him to seven. So, yeah, I hear y'all talking about, yeah, he got past Jokic, but Jokic didn't have
MPJ didn't even look at his shoulder.
Yeah, so, like, and I'm not making excuses for that. I'm just saying, like, we talking about war wounds. Yeah, they got past Jokic this year, but I didn't look at Denver as, like, formidable this year, so.
Yeah,
that's why I think it'll be interesting, man. None of neither one of these guys have been on the stage before. Like,
yeah.
So it might be a mess.
You know what? I also want to say, from my coincidence believers, is this the first finals, like we said, that is not going to be held in California or Texas, in the last 20 something years. And this is also going to be the first two teams that are not in the luxury tax. So it's very much so a tariff NBA finals. So y'all make sure you enjoy this. It's going to be a great time for all
the Midwest. Ain't nobody enjoying this outside of the state of Oklahoma. And
Nick going to be cut up with his Hennessy, listening to the infamous, crying. Life as a Knicks fan shouldn't be so rough. You know what I'm saying? Cream. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, honestly, man, if you enjoy basketball, this is still a good series. Like,
right, that, that's don't give me that bullshit.
Nah, it is true. Niggas just want to see fucking superstars all the time.
If you enjoy basketball, if that's the case, you should just pull up to any rec league and have a great time. No,
KD does. I mean, KD does. KD be out there in Slovenia watching a double B semi-pro team. Like, damn, they playing good offense. Like,
niggas be fans of superstars, and that's it. They take. They fans of teams, but they really just fans of those superstars.
And then y'all turn around and be like, "Oh man, parody in the NBA." And then it's like, "Who's watching it? You niggas ain't owners." Like,
I kind of though agree with Jalen though, but not from the parody standpoint, but just to add to it, like SGA is a name. He's the MVP, so we know who he is. Halliburton went into New York and made a name for himself. Mm-hmm. Like he became a villain. That first step back shot. He's in the spotlight.
Goofy ass shot.
And the choke sign. Nick. So it's not like you're going into the finals not knowing a guy from the Pacers. We know Halliburton now.
Yeah.
And his daddy.
So. Yes.
And when it was time for him to close in game six, he went off.
All right, we can move on. We got another hope.
Nick about to start trembling and shit. They about to
have Halliburton had a heck of a run down the stretch. So
OKC in two. So that's let's wrap this up.
All right, so we're gonna skip the break and we're just gonna jump to the last one and then hit FIFO, the worst of the week and then the power rankings. So where are we at on time? All right, so we're coming up on time. So let's please try to be brief. But with the NFL season still underway, there are many subplots being discussed. Before we dive into the full offseason discussion on rankings, which quarterback would you single out as having the most to prove this upcoming season?
I could take this first. Give me the first stab at this. I would say Josh Allen. Mm-hmm. Josh Allen.
The most to prove?
Yes, absolutely the most to prove. Josh Allen at this point has been given so much praise for being
coach or player, because the thing says coach.
It's both.
Are we doing both? Okay.
Yeah, the coach is part of it too. Yeah, head coach is also.
Are we gonna do coaches next?
Yeah, we are. Yeah, but I say Josh Allen because it's to the point now where he can never get over the hump to get into the big game, and you won MVP last year, so you know you took that award. I would say controversially because they didn't want to give it to Lamar again. Voters fatigue, but I feel like he has to get over the hump and make it to a championship game. We've seen Joe Burrow do it. We've seen other players do it. We saw Purdy, Jalen Hurts, a couple other players do it, but that's something that for him, it will define his legacy and make it worthwhile. If he can't get past Patty this year, what are we talking about him for? Why is he always mentioned in the top two, top three like that if he can't get over the hump?
And what about your coach?
You got a coach? Coach for me is Nick's guy, Zach, whatever his name.
Zach Taylor.
We already know what that is.
Zach Taylor got to win this year. Zach has to win. We talk about the talent that they have on that team. I know they got some defensive liabilities out there, but if you got an offense like that, they got one of the top offenses in the league. You got to be able to win games and get into the playoffs and be effective at this point. Yeah, he did make that nice run. But is that the end? Like, what else is there? Yeah. So I need to see more from him.
Mine is real quick. Lamar Jackson and I would say Nick Sirianni. Mm. You just got to prove that it wasn't a fluke. Because everyone's going to say it was a fluke.
What does that look like to you? Another Super Bowl run or just
check? I think you have to – you can't lose the games. Like, we get to the playoffs, you have to prove that you are competent. It can't be, oh, he rode Saquon all the way to the, you know, blah, blah, blah. You have to, like, improve and show us that, you know what I'm saying, the offense can remain the same level of potent under you with new coaches. Because we just lost another coordinator, and we saw what happened when we lost our other ones. We disappointed the very next season. I can see it now. I'm not saying that this would be my pick if like we had lost the Super Bowl, but the fact that we won it, I think it just puts more pressure on Sirianni than anybody else because people look at the talent around us and say, oh, well, anybody could have did that. If we can go back to the second round, make it to the NFC Championship game again, and Sirianni looks competent, offense looks still the same, then yeah, I think that he's proven that this is not a fluke. I really do this. Like, I really do this.
The only reason I don't agree, Q, is the fact that he's the second highest winning percentage of coaches in the last four, five. How long has he been a coach for?
For sure. But Spike was trying to hate for a second because he's on mute. But I think he was trying to say that
he was.
The offensive talent is the reason why he keep winning. You know what I mean?
And like I said, the only other reason I don't agree is because it's been a Super Bowl two out of the last 4 years. I think it's other coaches with a lot more to prove because he's done what you know he's hit the mountaintop.
So I agree. I get it. It's just that I'm talking from the media standpoint because this is what like who has the most approved. To me, like that's these wouldn't be my picks. I'm just talking from what the media is going to say. It's going to be Lamar Jackson. The thing is though is that that's what drives so much of NFL conversation. Like I could give my own picks, but they would be boring. I'd probably tell you like Justin Herbert and like fucking Kyle Shanahan, but that's not entertaining. In my opinion, you have Nick Sirianni, who is always the apple of the media's eye. And what does he really do? And does he really
not
have
shit?
You know what I mean?
He don't do shit.
And then
win Super Bowls.
And then you have Lamar
Jackson. Jerry Jones don't know nothing about that.
And then you have Lamar Jackson, who people will say, okay, two MVPs, but can he get over the hump? I understand. These are not necessarily what I truly believe. This is what I think is going to be on the hot seat if these things come to fruition.
All right, enough Eagles talk.
Yeah, I was about to say, we bring you out here to be authentic. Change that background. I'll go real quick.
To me, the player that has the most approved is Joe Burrow. They paid two big-time wide receivers. And here's the thing. He led the league in every damn stat but didn't make the playoffs. So he has to prove that everything that they did this offseason was worth it. So to me, Joe Burrow is the player with the most approved. The coach, you said Kyle Shanahan. I agree. I think Kyle Shanahan, now that they done hitched the wagon to Glock Purdy, they would have paid his man $53 million a year. You know, they shipped off Debo and right now it's questionable if he will last beyond this season. So he has to prove that he can win with paying a quarterback. Now
I will say, for me, the quarterback would be Trevor Lawrence. That Jaguars team has put so many things around
him, so many situations.
I think Trevor Lawrence has everything to prove as a quarterback. And
Do we still care about him though?
Listen, Jalen was the one saying if you care about football or basketball, you should love any kind of game that has basketball. If you like football, you should be cared about everything. I don't think anybody gives a fuck about him. The coach to me, this may be a hot take. Now, it ain't Shanahan, it's Mike Vrabel.
We don't care about the fucking Patriots.
They did my guy. What's his name? Gerard Mayo. They did him dirty. Oh, bro. because they was like, let's get this black man in for the DEI hire, and then we gonna get the real white man in. If Mike Vrabel ain't, because since he's been gone from head coaching, his name has been talked about like he the next upcoming Mr. Nigga.
I figured it out. I think it's fair though. Nick hates Mike's because Mike like, Vrabel.
It's like you got like it's like a tick. It's like
Mike Tomlin.
I'm just saying, I just want to see because
a nigga named Mike took his hoe in elementary school.
That's what it was.
he's supposed to be producing, Ken. You need to jump into this if you the hoe. He's supposed to be the producer. Yeah, I ain't never. They don't do this shit on PTI. We don't see the niggas.
He said, Doc is crazy.
All I'm saying is Mike Vrabel is somebody I'm watching this shit because if they don't win more than 4 to 5 games.
This is first year, Nick. Like
we said, the same thing about Gerard. Right, same thing that Q was talking about. Black coaches don't get that same type of shit. We see how many seasons Steve Wilkes get in Carolina.
You sound crazy.
Nick is right though.
Yeah, he's white.
Y'all doing this on race. He's white. He not 1 year Peter ain't gonna be able to judge Mike Vrabel on anything. He's talking about.
He's got a quarterback.
But he's
Robert Kraft's guy too.
Mayo didn't give him 1 year.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he black. That's the point. That's he's, what the whole point Mike, that I'm trying to make.
Vrabel is Robert Kraft's guy, though, Nick.
This isn't about what the media or this. When I'm talking this program, Q, you know, we had this in the conversation in the chat. I speak for the streets. This is what I report. I'll go next. I'm ready.
We can stop him from talking right now. I'm going with Mike McDaniel from the Dolphins, and I'm going with the same quarterback as far as Tua. Like, both of them have to perform this year.
We don't know, Q.
They gave him his money, and they're acting like he's a franchise quarterback, but we don't believe it as a people, and he's still out here trying to act like that's the thing that's happening. So Mike McDaniel, as far as the Dolphins head coach, and Tua, as far as the Dolphins quarterback. Those are the two people that have to prove a lot.
They don't care about football.
Don't nobody care about Spike, Logic and Bruno Mars. Like, nigga,
yeah,
like,
don't care about football in Miami.
Mike McDaniels is a really good one, actually. I like that one.
Lou, you hate Mike's too?
I think that's actually fair.
Like, what's up with y'all, bro?
Go
ahead.
Now I was just gonna say those two have to really prove, like, and step out themselves the season to be
prove what to you?
Prove what that they
can win.
It's over, bro. It's done.
Win what? I'm saying, like, win what? Win the division?
It's over, bro. It's cooked.
Win playoff games.
Tyreek Hill don't even want to be there. Jalen Waddle has been
what they got to do with.
I mean, come on,
they don't have anything to do with Mike McDaniel as a coach. People were saying he was a genius and he got this great offensive scheme, and we ain't seen that shit
play out now. Yeah, we ain't seen shit.
He gotta do something this year. And Tua, they gave him his money and they talking about giving him more money. Like, what's going on?
Tua has had 3 seasons in a row with a traumatic brain injury. I think we know exactly who he is. He's fragile.
I thought you were saying seizures.
Do we?
He's fragile. Like, we know who he is, bro.
They still paying him money, though.
But he's been throwing up crip every season, bro. Like, this thing, we know who he is, bro.
So why not cut him? Why not get him out of there?
Because they paying him money.
And Lou,
my whole point of what we got to see this season.
So we know he's stubborn.
I guess he's going to throw up more gang signs, bro.
Like, come on, bro. It's over, fam.
Y'all done wrote two off.
Yeah, he's
He's the Samoan Humpty Dumpty.
Like, yo, pray for him. Like, yo, he needs to get out of here. Like,
he is the Samoan Humpty Dumpty, bro. He's an apple falling from the tree away from being out for the season.
It's bad, bro.
So Miami needs to start looking for another quarterback.
Absolutely.
Miami needs to blow everything up.
Miami needs to blow it up. Waddle and Tyreek, get value now. It's over.
Yes. Or put a pillow into his helmet.
Mike McDaniel out of there. Mike McDaniel out of there. Who's the cornerback? He out of there too.
Everybody's gone.
I'll be brief. Dan Campbell. I really mess with Dan Campbell. That's my guy.
Is he Millie Vanilli?
Hey, look, man, I like to call it like I see it, but if I have to answer the question, I think Dan Campbell, you know, they just lost their center. Mm-hmm. He just retired.
And both coordinators.
The coordinators.
Who's the papoose to his Remy Ma? Like, was somebody writing for that for him? You know what I'm saying?
I don't know. I think he has a lot to prove. And then the quarterback, Caleb Williams.
That's a great pick. I think the jury's already done with that one, but
And you know what? Jaden Daniels put a lot of pressure on him.
That's another guy that I was saying. If y'all want to get creative with the question, I mean, y'all could say Jaden Daniels.
I thought about him too, cute.
Because that is somebody.
How do you follow that up?
Was it a fluke? Like, you get the NC championship in your rookie season? Come on, man.
All right, worst of the week. What we got?
Worst of the week is not.
Damn, not Nick Cousins.
And that picture awful.
It is the Los Angeles Clippers, particularly because of them trading away SGA for Paul George and all the picks, just to see the fruits of their labor be SGA become an MVP of the league and lead that team to the NBA Finals. They are the worst performers of the week just for that trade alone. And they would, this would probably go down in history as one of the worst trades in NBA.
They never, in their defense, they never could have saw this coming though.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say. Like when you talk about trades, it's now or later, right? Do you want to be better later or you want to be better now? They got Kawhi Leonard, right? MVP caliber type of player when healthy. And then also they got PG when PG came off of the injury. He balled in OKC. And also Kawhi said that I'm not going to re-sign unless you go get PG. So you had to do what you had to do.
All right, man.
Yeah,
I thought that was the Colts owner.
Oh, Jim Mersey.
Man, that's bad. Rest in peace. All I saw was the blue and white. I was like, damn, Nick.
Ken, and Gary, Indiana, they say R.I.P. for Jim Mersey.
Yo.
We about to get banned, man.
Yo, the monetization is off. So I'm gonna tell you right now. That's crazy.
They told me to say. Luke can't say nothing to me. He a dirtbag in the chat.
Nick, crazy.
I'm trying to put me in this, nigga. Next subject.
Nick said Jim Mercy listening to Faint Fire now. That shit is crazy, bro.
You trying to throw me in it.
y'all crazy, bro.
Yeah, that was a bad week.
Next subject, bro.
The Clippers didn't know, but I will say this, is that they could have known if another coach we always drag through the mud would stop being stubborn and play young guys. Doc Rivers, SGA's dad talked about this, and other guys like Ty Lue talked about it as well. Is just like, yo, I would have been playing SGA different minutes. Like, I would have been giving him a bigger workload. So, the problem is when you don't play young guys, you kind of end up shortening yourself in the future. So, for all coaches, you gotta go deep in your bench sometimes to see if you got any gems.
Power rankings. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, StreamYard is acting up. I just got a notice. So hopefully, we'll be good here. Let's see.
Okay.
Let's see what's going on.
All right, bet. So, like I've been saying, man, we're going to do all of the best players at the position all time. Today, it is the power forwards. Here's the thing. We can definitely argue on where I have certain players, but you cannot argue the five players I have on here. At number five. This may come to as a shock, but I will explain my reasoning. Karl Malone, number five, the fifth best power forward of all time. At number four, Giannis Antetokounmpo. At number three, Kevin Garnett. At number two, Dirk Nowitzki. And at number one, Tim Duncan.
Is Charles Barkley a power forward?
He is, but he's sixth. To me, Giannis surpassed him.
Karl Malone.
Yeah, I'm about to say Karl Malone over Charles Barkley is nuts.
Charles Barkley.
That's better nuts. Than
Karl Malone, bro.
I always classify Giannis as a small forward. Like, I never looked at him as a power forward. But
who?
I always thought Giannis was a small forward.
He's definitely
power. Are you sure? Do a power forward list
because no. Because in every iteration of the Bucks team, Bobby Portis has been playing power forward, and then Brooke Lopez is the
five. We don't care. Karl Malone at five is what we need to talk about. Giannis classification doesn't matter.
You bearing the lead, Q.
I mean, I feel like you
over Charles Barkley.
The reason why I'm saying that is because Barkley should be four. If Giannis is not a power forward, I feel like you're
right. Giannis is definitely a four though, because you got Middleton was the three.
Middleton was the two.
The problem with this list is Karl Malone. Why are we talking about Giannis?
Because Giannis, in my opinion, shouldn't be on the list. But hey, if we're gonna accept Giannis as a power forward, this is news to me.
Let's just go with what we got.
Hey, Ken, let me ask you this.
Who would you have put Charles Barkley above Karl Malone?
Yes, Nick, yeah, what are you talking about?
Absolutely.
No, I was asking because well, let me look at this, and I get why y'all saying it because I thought he was a better player too, but I'm looking at head to head NBA seasons. Karl Malone played 19 seasons, made the playoffs 19 times.
We don't care.
More All Star games.
You don't care.
He won. No, Karl Malone.
More All Star games.
Karl Malone. Thank you. No.
I'm gonna get Charles Barkley is a better basketball player than Karl Malone.
Karl Malone was the MVP twice in other league. And Charles Barkley was it once.
He split
all NBA first team 11-5.
Thank you.
So it's thank you. When you look at
first of all,
all defensive first teams 3-0.
Disgusting anyway. Like who has Karl Malone's stats pulled up? Like what are you reading this off of?
How many years Karl Malone playing in the league?
19 years. 19 years. 19 years of playoff.
Freaky ass nigga.
Yeah. So 19. This favorite number, huh?
Anything that got Karl Malone. That's too many. That's pulled up as a freaky ass nigga.
No, I had to look it up. I agree. So that's why I had to look it up.
But let's not take. Look, we're not talking about his off the court life. We are talking about on the court and how he performed. And when you look at the numbers and you look at the stats, Karl Malone,
you're a basketball player.
Outperformed.
You are a basketball player. Who is better,
Karl Malone or Charles Barkley? As a point guard, I would take Karl Malone.
Hey, but I also
I didn't ask you that though. See, you try to caveat it and say as a point guard, as a basketball player.
We are
who's a better basketball player?
This is not
who's a better basketball player.
The better all-around basketball player.
Karl Malone got the whole team lit. That's crazy.
We are talking about career. Who had a better career?
I got a question.
Karl Malone had a better career than Charles Barkley.
He did.
Yeah. I got a question.
Yes, he did.
How?
Hey, what do you mean?
Okay, he made the playoffs.
One mic.
Shelton, go ahead and riddle off all of the numbers.
Like I said, all defensive teams. Karl Malone was. All defensive first team 3 times. Charles Barkley never made it. So you take defense alone. Karl Malone made more All Star teams. He made all NBA first team 11-5. So he doubled him in all the NBA first teams. Season MVP 2-1. You can't argue with the numbers.
Okay.
He knows that firsthand.
Did Chuck disagree? Chuck have a better peak.
Go ahead, Jalen.
I'm also looking at Dirk it too. Nobody got a problem with that.
We can get past Karl Malone.
I ain't even made it there because I'm still tripping that Karl Malone is 5.
But Karl Malone, by the stats, all time is a better basketball player than Charles Barkley.
Charles Barkley, you know he better than Karl Malone.
I'm gonna tell you this. I'm gonna tell you this from a basketball standpoint. I like Kevin McHale. Over Karl Malone, like personally, like that's
just the chamber.
That's not a bad take.
Kevin McHale, 3 rings, 7 All Star teams, 5 times All Defense. Like Kevin McHale was dumb nice.
Yeah, he was.
And isn't Karl Malone top 5 in scoring all time as well?
He is. He is. So I can definitely. I'm not mad at him being top 5. I just that Giannis shit.
Appreciate you.
Again. Why is Dirk at 2?
All right. So is that where we're going? Everybody's cool with Giannis and KG.
Yeah. I mean,
all right, bet.
If I'm
cool with everything, but Karl Malone at 5.
I think Dirk gets number 2 because he had the greatest finals run of all time for an individual player.
Yes, if you look at 4 through 1, all of those guys won championships, right? Number 1 won multiple. 4, 3, and 2 only won one. Dirk had the least amount of help out of everybody on this list. Mm-hmm.
KG had a big 3.
Okay,
Jaylen, the you least think amount Dirk of help. Should be number 1?
No,
no,
God. I would put KG because the way y'all arguing, especially about Karl Malone versus Chuck, y'all making it seem like Karl Malone was a better all around player because he had defensive this and defensive that. Dirk was. It's not like Dirk was like Bill Russell. Like so I would prefer to have KG.
I
get your point. I get your point of the final. The finals run is what propels him over the top.
No, it's not just that though. But it's not just that though. When you look at all of the stats, right? They are very comparable in terms of Dirk and KG. Obviously, KG got a lot more defensive accolades. They both were a one-time MVP. They were both finals MVP, but Dirk scored more points. And again, that run to me is what separates them. But they're I could have put KG at two, right?
But I think I think the issue is that when you think about the power forward like position itself, it doesn't lend to the person scoring a lot of points. So like,
but Dirk redefined what the power forward is.
That's what I was about to say. If you're going to look at Dirk as being transformational, cool. But as a power forward itself, and what I like my power forward to be like, KG is more of a power forward for me than
100%. Because KG was more of a hybrid of what we loved of yesteryear basketball and what current basketball is, and then Dirk just transcended it.
Bro, you know, Dirk, KG would tell you himself that Dirk gave him all kind of problems.
He gave everybody
he gave that business.
Like, Dirk was fucking insane. Dirk was serious, bro. One dribble pull up, pump fake, put it like through the fucking net. Like, it was crazy. Like, of course, KG, you know what I'm saying, prime on two-way player. Yeah, for sure. The only thing that triumphs a really great two-way player is a juggernaut offensive run or a comparable stat. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like he has comparable stats and the finals runs put him at number two. Kevin Garnett had Ray Allen, Paul Pierce, Rondo, you know what I'm saying? It had, you know, a loaded team and only won one ring. Dirk.
That's because of Doc.
Dirk
went to two and lost to those for sure. But
if you look up, which once again, I'm just looking stuff up, but if you look at most publications, they have Karl Malone at number two.
All right, let's move on.
Mute his mic, man.
He's a second
for tonight.
I'm just telling you what they saying. I'm not saying that. I don't say he's number two, but I say
there is no power forward list that don't got Charles Barkley in the top five. That's crazy.
This is all of them.
Y'all grew up in the same era that I did. Y'all seen Charles Barkley play. Y'all know that he's a top five power forward. I don't even know why this is a discussion.
Giannis bumped him.
I'm gonna send you all these.
Giannis didn't bump shit.
Yes, he did.
Y'all got Giannis right.
Giannis.
Karl Malone was like, I'm gonna catch the ball on the hip and shoot it because John Stockton threw it to me. Like, Charles Barkley is a better basketball player than Karl Malone. What are y'all talking about, bro?
Giannis is better than Karl Malone, and Giannis is better than Charles Barkley.
I'm talking about Charles Barkley.
No, I understand that. Charles Barkley got bumped down, bro. Live with it.
Do you think Anthony Davis is better than Charles Barkley?
Skillfully, yes, but not from a
championship.
Yeah, I give you that too. Now, but
Davis,
but he's never been the guy though.
I agree. I'm just kind of asking.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think Karl Malone. I think Karl Malone shared with Stockton is a dog, bro. Like, I think Stockton.
No, 100%. But the onus to get the buckets was on Karl Malone.
It was, yeah, for sure. But shit, Stockton was setting him up.
Y'all sound insane right now, bro. Y'all sound crazy right now.
If I have to accept that Giannis is a power forward, which I'm going to contest, but if I have to accept it, I don't think the list is a problem. Like it's a fine list.
And the Kuzma is the 3Q. That's who was the 3Q. Kyle Kuzma.
The problem is Karl Malone. It don't got nothing to do with Giannis. You can put Giannis in there, but you can't tell me that Karl Malone is a better power forward than Charles Barkley. In no world is career.
On NBA.com, they got him in third.
Hold on, Shelton. Karl Malone had a better career than Charles Barkley.
No, he didn't.
How did he not?
What area did Charles Barkley?
You gotta prove your point. You gotta prove it.
I just told you. I just gave you the stats.
Barkley. Spike.
Let's agree.
Hold on. 11 All-NBA to 5 All-NBA. Okay. 3 defensive All-NBA to 0 defensive All-NBA. Top 5 in scoring all time. Top 30. What is we talking about?
Fifo, how old are you?
Bro, I'm old enough.
Right. You've seen Charles Barkley play, right?
All right, next.
That's all I said.
You're not bringing nothing. I'm bringing
that's
facts.
My point.
I'm bringing
Pusha T. You bring an opinion. Star superstar. Pusha T. Last solo album went number one on Billboard.
There you go, Lou.
Shout out to
Rayshon wants the free Diddy.
That's crazy. Lock him up too.
Rob Costa, SGA is the face of the league.
God, that's Canadian hate. I'm not trying to hear that.
Weedon boys, GMs picked the coach and roster. They deserve accountability too. Yep. Presti has all the pressure.
Smartest Cowboys fan I've seen. Go ahead.
Adrian Wells, shout out to Adrian. Appreciate
that. That is Nick. Member. That is Nick. I'm that fucking Nick.
Joseph Young, with OKC and Indy in the finals, the argument of they're too young or too early for them can't be an excuse anymore.
That's true.
True.
Yeah. All right.
Joseph Young is right.
Weedon boys, Vrabel, wide receiver one, is pissing, pink cocaine, stopping it. Yeah.
Stephon Diggs is out here with Cardi B passing out, you know, pink dolphins. It's just getting crazy.
Hey, man, hey, let them enjoy their offseason, man.
You saw the extended cut that I sent in the chat.
It's a limit. And this is how you get a Zion. This is how you get a Zion story. Yeah. Like,
that's
you
a line can, you don't you cross can, people.
Hey, I'm like, listen.
Cardi B said, I felt pressured.
Don't watch that bad.
It's bad, but if this was 10 years ago, it's horrible. But this is 2025.
All the Cowboys used to do that.
But
shit,
no,
right?
it's bad now because of what's going on with the trial. Yeah. So you, pink cocaine.
Michael Irvin. We don't know what it was.
Stephon Diggs said, "All he did, Ken,
was hand her a bag and tell her, hey man, you do what you
said. Don't do it all at once now.
He had a gaggle of biddies on him, bro.
Some Michael Irvin shit. Yeah, Barty game ready to go.
He said, What's my name?
But they said, Big Daddy. Yo, that's crazy, bro. Like, that's
and
wild.
Party right there.
Hey, play for the Patriots.
Let that man for the live. Patriots. Man.
That's wild. But yeah,
I know Tyreek Hill was somewhere pissed.
He probably got it from Robert Kraft.
Yo, real shit.
Green beans, start, bench, sit. Colston, Moss, or Cruz?
Shit, bench them all. No.
I'm starting
Santana Moss. I'm benching Victor Cruz, and I'm sitting Marcus Colston.
Victor Cruz. I'm benching Colston and I'm cutting Moss.
You don't even watch football.
You tripping.
Go to sleep. I'm a Giants.
I'm not better than either one of those.
Santana Moss is the best wide receiver on that list.
Victor Cruz is the best wide receiver on the list.
Highest peak, Victor Cruz. But Victor Cruz might. Overall, Santana
Moss.
Victor Cruz might have the best footwork.
That's not true.
I'm just saying his peak is higher than Santana Moss.
Santana Moss used to give Dallas work, man. Pac-Man, man, stop.
That's why I lose.
Hey, man, make your pick, Q. I don't want any of that shit.
I'm gonna say I'm starting Santana Moss. I'm going bench Victor Cruz and I'm cutting Colston.
Same.
I'm doing the same.
I got Colston fucked up.
Colston was nice for a hot second.
That was a good
season.
three, four. Same as Michael Thomas.
Yeah, injuries got them close.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Michael Thomas had a nice little run, but
yeah,
I knew it was a wrap when he quit on them one year.
Mm-hmm. That man got paid to sit on the bench. Boy,
he living my dream.
In New Orleans.
He taxed New Orleans.
He was supposed to be next up too. He was that guy.
Living my dream though.
Yeah. All right. Well, that is the show. We appreciate everybody coming through. We will definitely be keeping track of what goes on in the playoffs, the finals at that. And we'll see if we get 4, 5, 6, or 7 games. So we had a couple of different answers tonight. Nick and 4. Nick all and the two. Way to me and 7.
Hey, so let's pack this up early. You know what I'm saying? Let's get this out the way.
Let's get back to the NFL talk.
Hey, Guadalupe, we may do some game reactions since the final, post-game reactions.
Shit, we need to watch the game together. Virtually this Thursday.
Oh, I was about to say.
No, virtually.
It's every 3 days, so it should be Thursday, and the next one should be on Tuesday. Game 2 should be Tuesday.
Okay.
Mm. All right.
Thursday, I'm going to be able to do that, yeah.
All right. Well, we'll catch you guys next time. We out. Peace.
Peace.
Peace. Peace.